the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that on birthdays, on anniversaries, and every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those words, a Hallmark card, means finest quality. Mean that you cared enough to send the very best. And don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage and screen, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte learned some surprising news, that she's one of the heirs of the Barton estate, the others being the three Barton children. And today we find her at her desk in the local room of the Lakeview Post-Dispatch, talking long distance to her manager in Hollywood. She's saying...
Oh, for heaven's sake, Roger, talk louder. I can hardly hear you. You sound as weak as a yes man's no. Now you're too loud. You sound like an old maid yes. Bring it down just a notch, Roger. Make it like a middle-aged bachelor's, maybe. There, that's better. Roger, I got the money you sent me, but could I have $300 more? I said, could you let me have $300 more? Could you let me have $500 more? Oh, you heard me the first time. I know I've been spending a lot of money, Roger, but before I meet the Barton children, I want to get a new chapeau. Chapeau, that's a hat, only it costs $50 extra. I can't wear the one I've got now. I want the children to laugh with me, not at me. Yeah, that's right. I'll be taking care of a family now. Oh, don't be silly. I won't get housemaid's knee. Why should I insure my legs? Well, Betty Grable is different. Her legs support her. Mine only hold me up. All right, Roger, I've got to hang up now. Mr. Anderson's waiting for me. Yes, he's driving me out to the Barton home. Bye.
Well, there's the house, Charlotte. A little old-fashioned, seen better days, but it's still standing.
That's funny. That's what you said about me.
It's still one of the best-looking houses here in Lakeview, though the neighborhood is pretty run down.
Well, what about my luggage?
Oh, leave it here in the car. They got plenty of servants to take care of that. You know, I wonder how many people work on a big place like this.
Oh, about half of them.
Well, anyway, you're through working. You'll be rich enough to... Say, wait a minute. How much did the judge say you were getting out of the estate?
He didn't say. I'm not interested in the money, but I am interested in the children.
I haven't heard much about the Barton kids in recent years. They must be pretty well grown up now.
Judge Cronin told me that Barbara is 18, Jack is 17, and little Robert is 12.
Well, what is it?
We give up. What is it?
No, what do you want?
Now, wait a minute. Take it easy. Aren't you a little curt for a butler?
Butler? My dear sir, I am Mr. Rodney. I've been appointed to the court to manage this household until a housekeeper is secured. We haven't any servants.
Oh, well, this is Charlotte Greenwood. No doubt Judge Cronin has mentioned her.
Oh, yes. I've been expecting you, Miss Greenwood. Come in.
Thank you. It's a trifle chilly here.
We're economizing on coal. Better keep your wraps on.
Where are the children?
Oh, Miss Barbara and Mr. Jack are off someplace. I wouldn't know where.
You mean a couple of teenage youngsters are away from home and you don't know where they are?
Oh, they're probably visiting friends. But Master Robert is around. This is the drawing room. I always keep it locked.
This room feels like a vault.
What a nice, comfy little place for a three-ring circus.
It looks a trifle larger than it is because some of the furniture is gone. From time to time, we've had to sell certain pieces to meet expenses.
Sell them to meet expenses? Why, the Bartons are wealthy.
The Bartons were wealthy. And if you had any sense of appreciation, Miss Greenwood, you'd realize that everything in this room is a valuable antique.
Oh, really?
Really. This, for example, is a $200 vase.
You don't say. It looks exactly like a $2 vase.
And this table is a Louis XIV.
No kidding. I thought he just made chairs.
Please, please. Louis XIV is responsible for a great many things, but principally for...
Louis XV,
precisely. No, not at all.
Is that table over there an antique?
Of course it is.
Well, in Hollywood, I've got one just like it.
William and Mary, 1658?
No, Sears and Roebuck, 1295.
Did Louis, what's his name, make that too?
Certainly not. Don't touch it, don't touch it. It's just being repaired. The glue isn't quite dry.
Well, don't tell me Louis does repair jobs, too.
I repaired it myself.
Oh, you're very clever.
Well, I suppose I simply have the knack. Last Wednesday, I repaired a clock for Judge Cronin by simply slipping a roll of paper behind the spring.
Someday you must repair my alarm clock.
What's wrong with it?
It always goes off when I'm asleep, so I never can hear it.
Oh, that's easy. What did you say? Please. Oh, dear, dear. I suppose I'll have to answer the front door. Excuse me. Such people.
Phil.
You know something, darling?
Oh, a little.
Yeah? I mean, it's a good thing we left your luggage in the car, because I'm taking you back home.
Mr. Anderson, for the time being, this is my home.
Oh? Well, this isn't a home. It's a museum. Yeah, and a museum that's going broke. I begin to see now why that windbag Cronin didn't tell you how much you inherited. There's nothing to inherit.
See, I wouldn't call three children nothing.
Well, if you ask me, Cronin was just looking for a free cook and housekeeper. Well, you don't have to stay here. Now, why don't you come on back with me? After all, those kids are pretty distant relatives. Now, why should you undertake to... Oh, my nose!
Hi, what's cooking in here?
Hi, son. Don't suppose you could slam that door any harder, could you?
Why, sure.
Stole my foot!
Ah, boy, that was a smack.
I can smack it harder than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you're not a very good baseball pitcher, are you?
Well, I'm not, so what makes you think I'm not?
Oh, just the way you slam doors. You know, I've noticed the good baseball pitchers don't just haul off and throw any old way. They use accuracy and control.
Hey. I think you got something there.
The fellow wanted to be a good baseball pitcher. He could kind of practice on doors. You know, close them just right.
Say, that's good. Well, I got a right to slam doors if I want to. I'm Bobby Barton.
You are. Well, Robert, I'm your Aunt Charlotte. Charlotte Greenwood.
Get a load of that hat. I'm glad you're only my aunt, Mrs. Greenwood.
Well, Robert, let's get this one thing straight. It isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry. This hat is a bit festive, isn't it? I'd be better off with a sailor.
Well, what you waiting for? The town's full of them.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, listen, you young whippersnapper.
Well, Mr. Anderson, remember, he's only 12 years old.
How did he ever manage to live for 12 years?
Well, I'm so glad I'm... Well, welcome to your new home, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, hello, Judge Cronin.
Hiya, Fatso.
What? Oh. Robert, how did you get in here?
The door was unlocked.
Well, get out. Shoo. Stop. You know you're not allowed in here.
Judge Cronin, you mean that Robert isn't allowed in the living room at his own house?
For a special reason. A very special reason. Now, get out, Robert.
Out. Hey, Fatso.
Robert, remember, baseball pitcher.
First time he ever closed the door that way. Must be something wrong with his arm.
No, Judge, from now on, his arm's going to be all right. That's the arm of a champion baseball pitcher. Oh, Judge, have you met Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I have. Lives right across the hall from me.
Unfortunately.
For me.
Yeah.
Say, Judge, when the furniture is sold, who gets the money?
Well, the money goes to meet immediate and pressing expenses.
Do the children get some of it?
Well, no, because the estate is what we call a collective entity. And a collective entity is something like,
Well, like a...
A waste paper basket.
Yes, that's right.
You know, no. You stick around, Cronin, you might learn some law.
You keep out of this, Anderson. Judge, when you sell a piece of the estate, all the money goes to pay bills?
That's right. In fact, I bought a clock from the estate myself just to help out. I have it in my apartment right now, and when I return home in the evening, it greets me with a cheery cuckoo, cuckoo.
Very appropriate.
Yes.
I presume you keep an account of your expenditures.
Certainly. Certainly. I have a statement right here. Right here. Wait a minute. What became of that? Oh, yes, I left it at the office.
That's a bad habit, Judge, leaving things. But, you know, I do think the youngsters should have a little pocket money.
Well, till the estate is settled, the law provides that they'll be clothed, housed, and fed, and that's all.
Well, you can't treat people like cattle, and after all, children are people. Even though we sometimes forget it.
Well, I'm sorry, but I can only do what the law provides.
Well, can't you even give Robert a little pocket money?
They tell me that Robert has his own method of getting pocket money. That's why they keep that door locked.
Well, how do you mean?
He takes things. On several occasions, he's come in here, helped himself to certain items, and sold them.
Oh, Judge, he wouldn't know the value of these things.
Oh, no. Well, he knew the value of $20 that disappeared from my overcoat.
What?
Yes, that's right. It was in the envelope of my overcoat pocket. I tossed the overcoat across the back of that chair. Bobby wandered in here while Rodney and I were repairing a clock. When I started to leave, the money was gone.
Well, well, well. Lovely children.
Yes, you may as well know now as later, Miss Greenwood. Everyone says Robert Barton is a bad boy. You may have plenty of trouble with him.
Your luggage is still in the car, shall it?
Mr. Rodney tells me the boy has no manners of respect. The only thing he shows any love for is his dog.
Well, maybe that's because his dog is the only one who doesn't find fault with him.
Oh?
We can start back right away, Sean.
I'm not going back.
Now, wait a minute, Sean. It was a beautiful dream while it lasted, being an heir to the Barton estate. But it's time to wake up. This whole setup is one big headache.
Now, you keep out of this.
I will not keep out of it. I'm not going to stand by and see her make a big mistake.
I'm not afraid of mistakes. I'm right at home with them. You go ahead, Mr. Anderson. I'm staying here.
Now that the holiday season is over, we've all settled down to our everyday way of life. And you know, it's during our ordinary day-to-day life that the really important things happen. Important to us and to those we love. Weddings, birthdays, anniversaries. Blessed events when new babies arrive. And times, too, when our sympathy or encouragement is needed. Let us share these everyday yet so important occasions with our friends. Only word, a thoughtful card. Among the many fine distinctive cards at your Hallmark dealers, it takes a little time to choose the card you have in mind. The Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. There are beautiful cards to carry your wedding congratulations, anniversary messages, scores of original birthday cards with warm, sincere sentiments or gay, clever verses. There are cheery, get well soon cards to help brighten dreary days for friends in the hospital. In fact, for any occasion, you'll find a suitable Hallmark card. Remember, Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. And remember, too, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now back to our story. The time is around 10 o'clock the same evening. In the large, gloomy living room of the Barton home, we find Charlotte. There's a knock at the door.
Yes, come in.
I am leaving now, Miss Greenwood.
All right, Mr. Rodney, and thanks for everything.
You're quite welcome. Here's the key to the front door. And this paper is something I found on the table in the front hall. It seems to be a statement of expenditures.
Oh, yes. Why, this is the paper that Judge Cronin thought he left at his office.
I believe I have everything in order now, and I hope you'll enjoy your stay here.
I'm sure everything will be perfect.
Robert, get that dog out of here. Get that. Look out. Oh, there, that
vase.
That priceless
vase. Flash didn't mean to do it. He didn't mean to do it.
You had no business letting the wretched little animal in.
Oh, Mr. Rodney, aren't you making too much fuss over a broken vase?
Fuss indeed. That boy ought to be put away somewhere. That vase was 300 years old. A valuable antique.
I doubt if it's as valuable as a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, look at it. Broken to pieces.
Well, a boy and a dog have a right to a little breakage.
Hmm.
Besides, it wasn't done on purpose.
It was sheer carelessness.
Oh, nonsense.
Oh, there should be punishment for people who make stupid blunders.
I'll be responsible for the vase.
Very well. And good evening.
Mr. Rodney, this key you gave me for the front door, the tag on it says it's for the garage.
Well, I'm sorry. I must have made a little
stupid blunder.
Oh, I'll go get to the front door.
You can come out now, son. The windstorm is all over. Hey, that's quite a dog you have.
You mean you like him? After him knocking over the vase?
Ah, you can't hold that against him. Any dog with a tail as long as that would have to collect something besides fleas. You mustn't expect a dog to be as smart as a person. He doesn't know an antique is worth something more than it really is. What did you say his name was?
Flash.
Here, Flash.
Oh.
That's a boy.
He's part Curry and part Airedale and part Shepherd and part Wolf. I paid a dollar for him.
My. Think of getting all that for a dollar. Say, isn't it about past your bedtime?
I ain't got no regular bedtime. I go to bed whenever I want to.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we can get together on a time. Been playing all day with the kids?
Nope.
What have you and Flash been doing?
Nothing.
Oh, a couple of sparks like you must have done something.
Just hang around, that's all. Say, I gotta be going. I'm not allowed in here.
Robert, from now on, you are allowed.
Huh?
That door isn't going to be locked anymore.
But aren't you afraid that...
Afraid of what?
You're not fooling me. I know. They told you.
Sure, they told me. And it seems pretty silly, a boy taking things out of his own house and selling them. But if that's your idea of being smart, okay. I'm not going to be a policeman around here.
Anyway, it ain't made all this old junk belongs to me. To me and to my brother and to my sister.
Sure it doesn't. Just help yourself.
And I had to get some money some way. All the other kids had money. For movies and cokes and things. And they think I'm rich. They call me a cheapskate because I don't spend as much as they do. That's why they don't like me.
Wait a minute. I suppose they do think you're rich. Everybody does.
Sure they do. That's why I took some things and sold them.
And spent the money?
Yes.
And the $20 taken out of Judge Cronin's overcoat pocket?
I didn't take any money.
Judge Cronin says you did.
I don't care. I didn't. I only took some bookends and another time a little matchbox off the mantel. And I don't care if you believe me or not. You can punish me if you want to, but I didn't take that money. I didn't take it.
Robert, I'm not going to punish you. I believe you. Now, stop crying now. You're too big a boy for that. Come on now, blow your nose. Blow hard. That a boy.
Somebody took the money out of this room, but I didn't.
I know, son. Let's find out who did. What do you say?
Hello, hello, hello. Winfield Apartments. No engine right now. All right, I'll tell him.
Hi there, Junior.
Huh? Well, Shay, cut me down and call me Shorty. Bring me Greenwood.
And how's Lakeview's most popular elevator boy?
Oh, I'm having my ups and downs. Come right back at you, didn't I? Yes, sir. Say, you know something, Miss Greenwood?
What?
You get better looking every day.
Don't
you do?
I do? Well, I certainly must have a terrible setback every night.
Oh, Shay, are you a zooty? look, what's you doing this evening?
Well, I've got a date with Judge Cronin.
Judge Cronin?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you could go for a man like him?
Maybe if a man weren't too much like him.
This
is a business date.
Oh, well, then, how's about you meeting a little later and, well, sort of getting acquainted?
But we are acquainted. I consider you a real friend.
Yes, yes, but I'm thinking of something more than just being a friend, if you know what I mean.
Why, Junior?
I'd like you to sort of think of me as a steady.
Steady? Why, I think of you as practically motionless.
Oh, you're the one. Well, you know, I sort of figured I was getting over with you.
Mm-hmm.
You like to catch a picture show tonight? We can get there just in time for the second feature.
Well, thanks, Junior, but I'm going to be busy with Judge Cronin.
Say, wait a minute. Judge Cronin ain't in. I just remembered.
He isn't?
No, I brought him down the elevator about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, I phoned him before I left home. He said he'd be here all evening.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he just went down the corner to buy a paper.
I'll wait.
Yeah, well, look, why don't you hop in the elevator? I'll take you up to his study. You can wait there.
Okay, let's swing on up.
Yeah, sure, there you go.
I hope he'll be back soon.
Oh, well, he will if he remembers about you phoning. Mm-hmm. You know, the judge is a peculiar sort of fella. When the thing gets away from him, sometimes it never comes back.
You know, I have the same trouble with my laundry.
No, I mean he forgets things. Now, you take the other day. He left his briefcase in the lobby, forgot about it, and turned his rooms upside down looking for it. Yes, whoa, wait a minute, almost went past your floor. Well, come on. I'll let you in. I hope I got my pass key. Oh, yes, you're here.
Thanks, Junior. Goodness, but this room is untidy.
Well, that's the way the judge is. Scatters things all over. Wait a minute. That clock's wrong.
Oh, so there's the cuckoo clock Mr. Rodney fixed.
Yeah, I know it's wrong because I get off duty in 15 minutes. Well, I got a scram, Lamb. Good night, Miss Greenwood.
Good night, Junior. Let me have a look at this clock. That cuckoo must have laid an egg. I guess that wad of paper that Mr. Rodney put in it didn't work so well. It must be slipping. Now, let's see what's inside. Just as I thought. Oh, dear. Now what have I done? Oh, it isn't going to stop. This is terrible. I know. I'll hold my hand over this little door. There. Oh, I can't stand here and hold this little door all night.
Say, will you stop that infernal clock? How do you expect people to sleep with all this racket? Charlotte!
Why, Mr. Anderson, how did you happen to... Oh, that's right. You live right across the hall, don't you?
Hey, what is this, some kind of a lock?
Well, don't be silly. It's a cuckoo, and it keeps going cuckoo.
Don't try to evade the issue. What are you doing here?
I came here to see Judge Cronin.
Oh, you came to see Judge Cronin, huh? At 11 o'clock at night, huh? So I'm supposed to believe that, am I? Take your hand off that clock and be sensible. What do you think I am? I said, what do you think I am? Well, can't you answer?
Well, why should I? The clock's doing it for me.
Will you stop that thing?
Well, you told me to take my hand off it. It's out of order.
Oh, here, let me get up there. I'll fix it.
Well, be careful. That chair doesn't look any too strong.
Perfectly simple. All you got to do is to push the bird back into the house like this. And, my finger! Whoever invented a contraption like this anyway?
Here I am.
Anderson. Oh, Judge Cronin.
What are you doing to my clock?
What am I doing to your clock? Look at my finger. Look what your clock did to me.
Well, he's just trying to fix it, Judge Cronin.
Oh, don't give me that. There's nothing wrong with that clock. Why, it works perfectly.
Wait a minute. There is something wrong.
Why, certainly. I heard your blame clock sounding off. I came in here and found Miss Greenwood here alone.
Oh, indeed, Miss Greenwood. Why were you in here alone?
Because nobody was with me.
Well, that's fine. Now, wait a minute.
Now, look here. I wouldn't have been alone if you'd remembered your appointment.
I did. Appointment?
Mm-hmm.
Appointment? Oh, dear, that's right. You did phone and say you were coming in. Oh, I forgot.
I'd still like to know why you made an appointment at this time of the night.
I came here to get the missing
$20. What? $20? What $20? Wait a minute. You think that I took that $20?
Just a minute, Charlotte. What are you implying?
Mr. Rodney told me the $20 was taken by Bobby Barton. He's a bad boy.
Bad boy. Those words, bad boy, come trippingly to the tongue, don't they?
Huh?
They're so easy to say. So easy that sometimes people say them and believe them without paying much attention to whether or not they're true.
Well, now, look, Charlotte, you mean well, but your heart is better than your head. If young Barton didn't take that money, who did?
Maybe the judge has been working so hard lately that maybe he forgets things. And maybe when Mr. Rodney fixed this old clock with a wad of paper,
The judge handed him an old envelope.
Oh.
And that envelope the judge took out of his very own pocket. And maybe that envelope had two $10 bills in it.
Oh, two kids. Why, that's preposterous.
Is it?
Utterly preposterous.
Well, that here's the envelope. I found it behind the spring.
Of all the absurd... you found what?
Yes, and here's the money.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That is my envelope. Well, perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps I jumped at conclusions about the boys.
Well, there are a lot of people who jump at conclusions about boys instead of trying to understand boys.
But finding the money in the clock. Did you figure that out all by yourself?
Didn't take much figuring.
So, Anderson, you think her heart is better than her head, huh? Seems to me she has a pretty good head, too.
Well, yes. But I could have figured it out myself if I'd put my mind to it. After all, it's a simple deduction.
Well, you've got the right kind of mind for simple deduction.
Well, thank you. Now you see here.
Yes, and I mean...
I will not have you talk to me.
Boys!
I just want to say...
Boys! I use the term loosely. Now, everything's settled, and let's forget about it.
Yes, but... To think the way I've gone around talking about that youngster, I certainly made a mistake telling everything I know. I have, for a fact.
Judd, the mistake wasn't in telling what you know. It was in telling, for a fact, what you don't know.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, yesterday the President told us we must face reality. We must be courageous, meet grim truth, accept unpleasant facts. Yet surely we wouldn't be facing reality if we viewed only one part of the scene. If we saw only the somber shades and overlooked the brighter tones. There is never a time when the good things don't outbalance the bad. There is never a time when your blessings, if you count them, don't outnumber your misfortunes. For reality, by its very nature, isn't darkness. No matter how dreary the winter, spring is beyond the horizon. No matter how deep the passing shadows, there's always a light of the eternal star. And now, until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying, so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I just say, so long, so long.
A music by Charles Hathaway, his orchestra, and the Hallmark Chorus came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network.
12:30 at KECA, Los Angeles, by transcription.